Hey, I'm Joyce, and welcome to today's Walk and Talk. Walk and Talks are a 99 Walks exclusive, where I have the honor of walking and talking with some of the world's most interesting people. Now, this is not a highly produced podcast. This really is an informal conversation between two people talking about the things that matter most. Thanks for being with us, and here we go.
Hey everyone, Joyce here, welcoming you to today's Walk and Talk, where our guest is Stephanie Fee. Stephanie is the founder of Knock Sustainable Wellness. She's certified in, and here's the list, nutrition, stress management, sleep, and recovery. And I think we should talk about the fact that I think all those things are interconnected, Stephanie. Anyway, after 20 years of dieting, she figured out a way to beat the diet cycle, and now she's sharing her hard-won wisdom and education with others. So we're going to talk about all the things. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I personally, as you know, because we have had the chance to chat at other times, but I love the philosophy of Knock. Can you share a little bit about, first of all, your story, and second of all, what is that underlying philosophy?
Yeah, absolutely. So my story pretty much dates back to when I was born. I was raised in the Midwest in a household that was very disruptive, very chaotic. And as I kind of grew into my adolescence, I was often shamed over my body. And at school, and my household was pretty abusive, so I had a lot of kind of feelings from that that I took into my adulthood, and that really affected my relationship with food. I really didn't have a relationship with food or my body. And I knew I was really good at working. I knew I was really good at succeeding in that arena, so I kind of put everything else aside, meaning my health and my well-being, and just started to become really busy with all of my work pursuits. And fast forward to 2015, I was literally on the floor of my new apartment the day after I got a divorce, and I hit rock bottom. So from that kind of point, I started asking myself a lot of good questions to figure out what my problem was that I was really looking to solve. And I went back and realized that everything that I was working on in terms of my health and well-being, quick fixes, diets, weight loss programs, detoxes, anything that could give me fast results, hard and fast, because, you know, I didn't have time to do it. I was too busy. And that was the problem that I knew I needed to solve. So I started by just slowly figuring out how to stop labeling the way I ate and stop identifying with any kind of like belief system and start tuning into to myself. And I just went on this exploratory journey, which led me to start carving out the framework for what exists today.
And when you say labeling, are you sort of talking about the kind of good food, bad meal, good Stephanie, bad Stephanie kind of cycle that so many find themselves in?
Yeah, that included. I was sitting at a dinner once. It was after I had stopped. I had really worked on my language at the table, so people would ask me what I was doing because I started to physically change, and also I started to come into a more kind of confident me as well. And so people would ask me what I was doing, and I started saying, I'm just doing what works for me. And I didn't have any other explanation, and they kind of look at me funny. So I sat at the table and I started realizing that a lot of the people, you know, a lot of my friends in particular, they would say like, I'm keto, I'm paleo, or, you know, I can't eat bread. And it reminded me, like, I started not feeling stress and anxiety at the table. And that's how I had always felt. because I was always telling myself that, you know, I needed to identify with something, whether it's eating clean or, you know, paleo, or, you know, I'm not eating bread, or this is bad, this is good. I really worked hard on getting away from those labels, and I had no idea how calm I would feel and how free I would feel as a result. So I started listening to all of that, and I thought, I'm not the only one. Like, there's a lot of people that are wrapped up in this, and I'm sure that they feel that kind of stress and anxiety that I felt too.
So years ago, I had this moment. I would call it an epiphany, and I suspect you would share this with me, but you can tell me if you don't. But I woke up one day and I was like, you know what? I would like to get back all of the time I've spent in my entire life thinking about food, worrying about food, thinking about my weight, worry, all that like time and mental energy. Like, I just want that time back. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that there's actually a study out of the UK that I read a couple years ago that the average woman spends up to 17 years of her life dieting.
Oh, and, no.
Yeah.
I was right. I never quantified it, but that's a lot of time.
I know, and I calculated my own time, and I calculated approximately 20 years, and in and out of the diet cycle, I guess is what I mean. And if this helps, you know, you or anyone listening, I guess, you know, somebody asked me once, because my rock bottom part of that was a divorce, and it was very, very sad. And they said, you know, how are you going to, like, what do you do from here? And I was like, well, I just have to make it really good. I have to do something really great with this time that I lost, these bad moments in my past. And so, you know, that just kind of stays with me most days, like make it great, and you can 10 times what you lost in a shorter period of time even.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the lesson in that for me is don't spend any additional time, don't throw any good time after bad time now thinking about all of the time I wasted, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Share, if you would, a little bit. Well, I asked you actually, and I'm really curious, where did the name NOCK Sustainable Wellness come from?
Yeah, so NOCK, N-O-C-K, it's a term in archery. So NOCK is a little plastic piece at the end of an arrow. And in the sport of archery, which I took up some years back because I like to try a lot of new things, there's a step that is most often overlooked, and it's called knocking the arrow. And it's the part of the setup that directs the flight path of the arrow. And so just like our health and wellness, people rush that step. And so why aren't we hitting the target? Maybe because we're too busy to notice, we're rushing for those quick results. So when I went to name the company, I was like, what am I going to name this company? And, you know, I'm a Sagittarius. I like goals, you know, what am I going to do? And then I thought, hey, what about that step? And then I added sustainable because really, truly, you know, everyone's trying to get these lasting results and we mean it. So I figured might as well put it in the title, the name.
And I know that at the heart of at least some of the work you do, and correct me if I'm going to misstate it, but is this idea of individuals tapping into their own instincts and their own kind of wiring and how they work. How do we start hearing ourselves better?
Yeah, so something that people don't know that most people haven't been made aware of is actually a third part of the mind. So how we think, how we feel, and then how we do, how we actually take action instinctually and naturally. So that's something that when you have that information, that piece of yourself, it's a part of the awareness that helped me say, you know what, I'm not a failure. These systems just aren't built for me. And they're actually not built for about 80% of the population. So things like organizing everything so perfectly and meal planning on the same day at the same time and having the same morning routine every single day. That's not me, and that's not 80% of the population, but it's not our fault. We just thrive through our own unique method. And so that's really the work that I've designed, is to help people discover what's their unique method. So we all have to have systems in our lives, but that doesn't have to be such a bad confining word. They just have to work for us. They have to set us free. They have to let us, and when we do that, that's this lasting change piece, I think. Does that answer your question? Does that make sense?
Sort of, but can you maybe share an example? So I'm thinking about so many meal planning protocols really start with this idea of do all of your meal planning and all of your prep on Sunday afternoon. And that will set you up for success for the whole coming week, right? Isn't that one of the messages that we're all being sold?
Yes, exactly. And then those are the messages. That's why I created my company, because I was like, I can't do any of this. Like, I'll get excited and do it for a period of time, and then I can't keep it up. Why can't I keep it up? And so there's alternatives that's part of the work that I've done, is help the people beat the system. And so, yeah, you need to order your groceries. How are you going to do that? Maybe it's setting up your cart automatically to have your groceries delivered online. Maybe it's sending someone else. Some people can delegate. Some people can find other capabilities if they're not so structured and methodical. Getting in your kitchen and trying new things and kind of, using like your intuition and the things that you know about food to take something out of your refrigerator and put it together without so much pressure to have it so perfect. And the lists and the check boxes, it doesn't really, we have to learn how to live without them, because most of us can't keep up with them over time anyway. So really helping people live a little outside of the box, really in their own way. So it's different, and there's a lot of different things that we recommend for, things like meal planning or habit. The way that we build habits is more dynamic. So it doesn't have to look the same way every day. You don't have to do the same thing every day. In fact, just categorically, are you thinking, consuming, and moving in support of yourself daily? And then you have your preferences, but no longer do you have to kind of subscribe or unsubscribe. You get to kind of move uniquely in the way that it'll last.
I had a call and a conversation with a guy this week, last week, I don't even remember. And he was telling me about this app that he has designed that more accurately calculates calories in and calories out. And he believes that that is the missing piece for people who are trying to lose weight. And I don't think it's that simple. I'm not sure that what we need, and I think there's actually a really interesting place for the work that he's doing, because some people's systems are kind of out of whack, and maybe it's a good way to identify that. But I'm not convinced that what we need to promote our wellness is more information and more data. I think what we need is more like what you're looking at, which is kind of a perspective shift. And nobody wants that, because everybody wants you to say, do this, and do this, and you'll feel great, and you'll be a healthy weight, and you'll live forever.
I know. Believe me, that's one of the challenges I have. I actually have something that I give people that says, I know you want me to tell you, I know you want us to tell you exactly what to do, but here you learn how to do it your way, so that it becomes lifelong. With calorie tracking, scientifically, uncontroversially, scientifically proven, right, for weight loss, really the only thing, and again, uncontroversially, so is energy balance, and that everybody gets results through a different method. So the way I eat, the way you eat, the way someone else is eating, It's we're a testing ground. Our bodies are really going to tell us so much. And then the other part is you know, but how do we manage our portions? And so certainly you can go about calorie tracking, but that's one of those things that, you know, 80% of the population can't really keep up with very long. And it also can create an obsessive sort of, you know, detach you from yourself and put you into this tracking device. So we work with two different methods, mindful eating and the hands method, you know, just depending on where people are at in their journey, where they've been, and how comfortable, kind of where their comfort spot is. But certainly, you know, I don't pressure anybody to disengage from something immediately when they come to us. I just invite them to learn something new and see if it, you know, and generally speaking, like, people don't want to track their food and their calories like that. They want to be with their friends at the table and enjoy their meal. So I agree very much.
You said something sort of built into what you just said, which regular listeners know is one of my favorite topics around this kind of topic, around actually like most topics, which is the power in getting curious. If we're all going to be in the best possible sense our own little laboratory, the only way you can sort of figure it out is to get curious and to listen to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, I think
how do we start doing that against so much noise?
Well, I think it knock is also, I always reference, it's the pause, right? Because I realized that the noise was for lack of pause. I wasn't taking a moment and pulling back so I could reduce the noise. And people feel like they don't have any time. But once you start pausing and you start doing that and you start making, you know, mindful moments, so not even mindful meditation, although I think that's extremely valuable, it's manageable to just take a few seconds. And in those seconds, that's always when I ask myself, what is it that I want to have happen? What am I reaching for? What do I want? How am I going to feel if I do X or if I do, you know, Y? And so I think just if just stopping 30 seconds, I mean, some people are only going to be able to stand to stop for 10. That's fine. Start wherever you can and take one question and ask yourself that question.
And that advice goes so far beyond food. I want to be clear that we're not just talking about maintaining a healthy weight, losing weight, managing what you put in your body. It's everything, right? If you take a pause, how am I going to feel if I do X, and is doing Y going to lead me closer to my goal? You know, what can I do? What can I do that's in the direction I want to head?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is connected. So we can't just treat one thing and expect these long-term results, right? We have to treat it all, but treat it all without the overwhelm. And I love using nutrition as, you know, kind of the platform for well-being, because so many people have such a complex relationship with food. When did our relationship with food become so complicated, you know, so complex? And for everybody, that's a different answer. But when we unwind that, I'm a big, you know, food person, and I love flavor and I love sharing meals with people and I love cooking for people. And it helped me change my entire life when I changed my relationship with food. And then it became just consumption. What am I taking in? What am I putting out energetically, otherwise? And then it just kind of all sprung from there. So really it started with how I thought, and then it went into the consumption piece. And then I felt more confident. I love to move. I always have. But I started moving in ways that I never even knew I could without any pain, which was a big deal. So I was always moving and still in all this pain. And then I started thinking, moving like we're reacting, we're adapting. How are we moving through our lives? And I don't know, then I just kind of went, hey, this is how you build resilience. This is how you keep going. And that's the only way that we're going to, you know, no matter what we do that's working, how are we going to keep it up? We have to learn how to move through life, what comes at us at the table and otherwise.
It seems to me that a lot of the work that you do, some of the predicates are around, I'm trying to, is that singular or plural? The predicate is around getting better about trusting our instincts. And I wonder, like, when did we stop trusting our instincts? You know, I'll tell you a story, which I've shared before, but my daughter was an incredibly intuitive eater when she was a baby. When that child was 2 years old, she knew exactly what her body wanted and needed. And she was rarely interested in junk food or sugar or candy. It just, that's not what she wanted because she was listening to her body. I could see it happening. And then come elementary school and all of that goes out the window. But I think as a society, we're not all that great at trusting our instincts. And I feel like part of the work that you do is around trying to get us back to that place. Do I kind of have that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then trusting other people as well. So admiring them for how they do things. So instead of, you know, I'm doing this and it works for me and you should do it too. The, you know, more, yeah, sharing information and what works and doesn't work is really great. But there's this pressure to sort of, you know, do it their way, do it the way that we've been taught. And, you know, I don't know, maybe that's also sort of what happens in the school system as well, right? We're kind of taught to do it a certain way. But yes, it's science based. I want to make sure and be really clear about that because science is super important to me. And science tells us something about our instincts, our biology, the way we take action, the way we do things. It's very important.
So how do we get started? I mean, I'm assuming, you know, assuming we're talking to people who are not in a position to run out and hire you, right? But let's talk about just sort of like step one of becoming more intuitive, becoming more trusting of our instincts, laying down our battle with food, sort of choose any of those. And practically speaking, how can we get started?
Yeah, I always tell people go with the low-hanging fruit. And what does that mean? What's the easiest thing that you can do, the smallest, most simple thing that you can do? And it doesn't have to be the same thing every day. But, you know, in your or throughout your days, what are those simple things you can reach for? And make that your win. And, you know, check off a small box to start. And before you know it, after you check off these boxes over time and you start to the low-hanging fruit, then you kind of go to the next level and the next level. And years later, you look up and you're like, wow, what happened? So, you know, something as simple as drinking your water, you know, whatever is most easily accessible and in reach. Then when you get good at that, then you'll start to reach a little bit more past. And hey, if that little pause, you know, just the 10 seconds before you write the email or before you speak or before you, you know, grab something and binge because you didn't eat lunch that day, you know, find a second to ask yourself, what is it that I want to have happen immediately after? What's the outcome that I want?
Eric, my husband and business partner, his go-to expression around that is respond, don't react. And
that's one of my favorites.
That's his mantra around take that 10 seconds to think before you respond in some way. And listen, I know that walking, you have a real meaningful walking practice. I would love if you'd share a little bit of that.
Sure. I walk in different ways. I mean, one thing that I shared with you, I know, is the wandering, the roaming, because I have to obviously plan. There's a lot of demands on my life. There's a lot of things that I need to get done. And at the end of a week, sometimes, you know, I need to feel really free. And you'd think, well, you're an entrepreneur. Can't you do what you want? It doesn't actually feel that way.
No, it doesn't.
So, it's interesting like that. So I started actually doing this more I started using some of the lessons that I had learned when I was in Italy, just walking and exploring in the pandemic because I felt so isolated. And on Saturdays, I would just go and with no plan, no nothing, and turn where I wanted to turn and kind of do what I wanted to do. No matter if you can always tell yourself you're too busy. You can always stack up your time and find ways to say, this, I can't do it because, but I just did it anyway. And it really helped kind of bring me back to life in those moments when I felt very isolated. And sometimes I make a destination and I just say, hey, I really want a coffee there. I want to go get a snack there. I'm going to walk and make it kind of, you know, that way. But walking to me is one of the most sustainable habits all of us can have. I mean, it's the best thing what you're doing to get a million women walking. I love it.
One woman at a time. So tell us where people can find you, learn more about Knock, follow you on social. What's sort of next and where are you hanging out these days?
Yeah, so we're on all social channels, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook is Knock Wellness, and www.knockwellness.com is the website. And these days we're really working toward helping companies create a routine and habits that really make being healthy easy and accessible so they can get that competitive edge they're looking for by boosting their team's quality of life. So I'm really excited about our organizational wellness. And then we also help individuals. I say busy professionals are our specialty. that's really fun too.
Are you seeing a rise in corporate wellness and businesses paying attention to the overall wellness of their teams? I wonder if that's a little bit of a net result of the pandemic, people just paying more attention to that. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, because the studies that are coming out, there is one study I read, it was, I think, 83% of the companies that have been started. So 2021, new companies were at like an all-time high. Most of those people aren't going to have employees. They're people who were not happy or fulfilled in their work. So companies are having a harder time, you know, attracting talent. But most likely those people will say, hey, you know, this is, I don't want to actually go it alone and probably come back, maybe not. But companies need to do something different. And that's really what my aim is, because I come at the point of view as an entrepreneur, but also as a team member. You know, I was like a very high performing team member. And I also worked in gas stations and cleaned hotel rooms. And so I have this point of view of, you know, different people at different levels and making it accessible so they don't have to like opt in and do something else. It just, everything kind of looks, feels, sounds, and is different in the culture of well-being rather than, you know, making it so hard for everybody to be healthy. At work in particular, because that's the wellness gap. Work is a gap between us and our well-being.
Oh, I love that. For many people. Hopefully for fewer and fewer as you continue to do the work that you're doing. So thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate your time and your wisdom and all the things. And enjoy that Southern California weather.
Thank you. Let's get more women walking. Spread the word.
Let's do it.
I really appreciate the time with you, Joyce.